I didn't cite that source. I happened to offend one of my dear friends by doing that, so I don't want to have that on my heart this morning. I want to apologize to the church for that before we begin with this new sermon. But if you would, if you'd pray with me, I'd appreciate it. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, for your mercy and grace. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come before you, that we can give everything we have to you. God, that we can give our first fruits to you. God, we pray this morning that as we come before you, that you forgive us of our sins, that we can be clean, that we can be made fresh for you. God, I pray that as we come before your word today, that we can see how great and how mighty you are. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit rains down upon this place, that we can hear your message, that we can see your message, and we can live your message. God, it's in your great name we pray. And if I could get my two friends here to come up, I would appreciate it.
All right, class, I'm going to be your new substitute Sunday school teacher.
Hi, teacher. Hi. 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 What's your name?
My name's Miss Drummond.
Ooh, I like that name. I like that a lot. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about.
Wait a minute. Where's Miss Linda? She's always here.
Well, Miss Linda's my mom, and she hasn't been feeling good. Now, I know you guys had a lot of substitute Sunday school teachers.
We have, and I have run them all off. Every single time.
I bet you have.
I have. But, what? Okay, let me get this straight. You're Miss Linda's daughter.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure you're not adopted?
Ouch, okay. That's why I love you kids. You're just so brutally honest.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Now, let me tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm going to be your permanent Sunday school teacher for a bit.
We'll see about that.
Well, my mom, Miss Linda, she's feeling very good. So I'm going to be here for you guys. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Billy, like the goat.
Oh,
I love to sing songs.
Yeah?
I sing songs all day long.
Yeah?
All day long.
Great. Okay. I think we should sing a song that's one of Miss Linda's favorites, and it's called My God is So Big.
No, you don't sing that song. That's just one of the songs.
Okay, the song goes like this. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you.
No. Not saying it. You don't even sing it good. That's Miss Linda's song. That was awful.
Well, you know, Miss Linda asked me to be here, so I'm just trying my best.
Nope. I'm not seeing it.
Okay. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you.
Yeah, the more you try, it gets worse.
Okay, so listen, Billy, we're going to sing the song, okay?
No. Their tail. Miss Linda.
I know I'm not.
You're not at all like Miss Linda. Miss Linda. You don't sound like Miss Linda. You don't smell like Miss Linda. You're not as tall as Miss Linda. You're not as nice as Miss Linda. And you need to give me one reason why I should sing this song for you.
Because my mom is very, very sick, and she asked me if I could be here this morning, and I just thought that we could sing Miss Linda's favorite song. I thought that maybe it would remind me that God is big and how strong He is, and I need to be strong for her. I need to go home, and I need to be strong for her because she's so very courageous, and she has so much faith, and I just thought if we could sing the song, it would remind me how mighty and how strong God is, and that there's nothing He can't do for me or for Miss Linda. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sorry, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have.
God is so beautiful. God is so mighty. There's nothing my God can do.
Who are you?
Thank you, youth, for your service and for displaying some of the gifts that God has blessed you with. This skit was something the skit guys have done, and if you've ever seen anything that the skit guys have done, I think Judah's portrayal of Little Billy, quite honestly, was spot on, right down to the bah. That being said, it's been a difficult year for many of us at this church. Been a difficult year for many friends and family members. Larry said it best last week, I think, when he said, if anyone told you being a Christian is going to be easy, they lied to you. But the truth is, we're living in a world where bad things happen. We're living in a world where sin runs rampant. Honestly, we're living in a world where people eat Tide Pods. It's not a good place anymore. Don't get started. But God is so big, He's so strong and so mighty, and there's nothing He cannot do. Amen? All the Christians in this room can attest to this song. You know, I didn't actually know this was a real song until I started looking up for this skit and preparing for this. Turns out there's actually a real version of this song that has a really upbeat tune, and it sounds a lot better than when Judas sings it. But when I started reading and listening to this song, the lyrics of it were really powerful. They actually had more lyrics than just, our God is so big and so strong. And so I started looking at it, and I wrote them all down. It says, we serve a God who created everything by speaking. He flooded the earth. He opened the sea to allow His people to get through. He gave a boy the strength to take down a giant. He brought down the walls after Joshua walked around. He sent His son down to the earth. He healed the lame, the sick, the blind. He died on a cross. And He came back to life after 3 days. He conquered sin. He's coming back. God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. But just how big is He, though? God created the entire universe, right? When we look at the universe, we have a hard time picturing it all. I sat down for dinner with Ed and Larry and Travis this week, and Ed was reminding me of the Creation Museum, where they have the planetarium. And it's been a while since I've been there, but it gives you this great visual of our galaxy. But we started to talk about it and get it to a little bit more of a visual level. So imagine you're sitting there outside on your porch, standing, sitting, whatever you prefer. And then you look up in the stars. Now let's scale back a little bit. We can see, we have a visual understanding of what our state looks like for most of us. We have a visual understanding for what our country looks like and even what our world looks like. And when we look out in the stars, we can see these little dots. What the Creation Museum does really well is it takes not only the visual of the stars, but it zooms out and it allows you to see our solar system. And then it scrolls back even more and it lets you see the galaxy that we're in. And then it lets you see all of the galaxies that we're in. Our God created all of this and holds it in the palm of his hands. Our God is so big. But now let's take it in and let's zoom all the way back to us. And look at the back of your hand where you have this skin. And this skin is made up of molecules and atoms all together, right? We have this DNA that encompasses what we are made out of. Our God created that. Better yet, he designed it. He knows the count of hairs on your head. Our God is so big and so strong. He created everything. He created everything into existence. And best of all, he loves you and me. Not encouraged, not excited about how big our God is yet? Let me give you the verse for the day. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 39 today. If you have your Bible, that's great. If you don't have your Bible, YouVersion has a live sermon you can follow along with that has all the verses connected. Chris will have all the verses up on the screen behind us here. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 starts off like this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither height, neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray with me again. God, you are so mighty. You are so powerful. God, you love us so much that nothing can separate us from your love. God, let us see that. Lord, I pray that we can see how much you love us, how much you care for us. So how powerful you are. That in everything that you've done, you love us. It's in your great name we pray today. Amen. So why are we talking about how big God is? And what's this verse have anything to do with it? God is so big and powerful that he loves you and me. He created everything from the smallest ant to the entire planet. And so much further. This verse I read to you in Romans verse 39 says, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God, from the love of this big and powerful God. So what I want to talk about today is how faithfully following Christ will lead us to serve this big, big God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Psalms 28, 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my trust, my heart trusts in him. and helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and my song, I will praise him. The big God we serve, we should be trusting him. We should be relying on him for everything in our lives because of how big he is. This is kind of what leads me up to our first point here. Faithfully following Christ will lead us to learn about Christ. Colossians 1:10 says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." This first point seems very basic, very simple, right? We should want to learn about Christ. If we stand in the church, we're around here, we generally expect that most Christians want to learn more about Christ. And yet, Sunday schools are some of the lowest attended services. Bibles are more often than not dusty, sitting on the mantles. We should want to learn more about Christ. I got to the privilege of going to the pastor's conference once again this year, and Cynthia got a chance to go with us as well. Great time, great experience. Jacksonville is a beautiful place. It has this thing called a sun that we don't get to see much over the winter, but during the pastor's conference, Cynthia and I were coming up a little late because we had to drop off the kids, and we walked in to a guy by the name of Sean McDowell, and kind of were confused when we first walked in. I say this because the man is standing up there, and he's having pastors talk to him like he's an atheist. Now, bear in mind, when we pulled back a little bit and we got to hear the whole thing, we got to see the whole thing, he talked about how, as Christians, we have to know what we're talking about. We have to learn what the Bible says. We have to learn what the Bible means. And we have to apply it in our lives. See, he stood up in this huge room filled with thousands of pastors, and he said, "How many of you guys agree with Darwinian evolution?" And it's a pastor's conference. Nobody's crazy enough to stand up and say, "Yeah, I agree with that," right? But then Sean did something very powerful. He took it a step further and he said, "Hey, tell me, how many of you guys can stand up here and tell me exactly what Darwinian evolution is?" Crazy thing was, nobody fell for his trap. Nobody got up and wanted to try and explain what Darwinian evolution was in front of several thousand pastors. I tried to stand up, and Cynthia shot me down and said, "Don't do that." Probably better off, let's be honest. So his point he was trying to make is, we're very quick to jump to say we don't agree with something, but we don't necessarily know very much about it. How can we defend the word if we don't know anything about it? Sean had a very powerful message that he brought to those pastors that day. We have to know what we're talking about. We have to learn more about what we're talking about. If we're not learning anything anymore, there's something wrong. We should be growing every day. If you think that you know more than the person who's teaching you, well, get out of my class, I'm sorry. No, listen, if you think you know more than the person who's teaching you, maybe you need to go to a different class. If you think you know too much to be taught by anyone, maybe you should teach a class. The truth is, Christians, we should be growing and we should be bearing fruit. Christians, when we are learning and we're teaching others to learn and we're helping others learn, there's a difference. Because our God is so big, our God is so powerful, why would we not want to learn more about who he is and what he does for our lives? Faithfully following Christ is going to lead us to learn more about Christ. It's going to lead us to love like Christ. Matthew chapter 22 says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." This verse has always been a powerful verse to me. It always strikes back to me as a reminder. If you look at our church motto, we view it as love God, love others, serve both, right? Love God, love others, serve them both. This is that passage. This brings it all. Faithfully following Christ is going to lead us to love like Christ. Loving like Christ is having a love for people. It's having a love for the sick, the weak, the downhearted, the homeless, those who can't do it. Having a love like Christ is a love that sounds crazy and doesn't make sense. Having a love like Christ is loving those who don't deserve our love. Having a love like Christ is going out and doing missions. It's going out and serving in Vacation Bible School. If you didn't know it already, this church has been doing missions since 1999. I've been working with a couple different people over the last month or so, talking about the different mission trips that this church has done. I stole an evening of Heather's to be able to get some of the pictures from some of the different mission trips, because I have another little project I'm working on for the future. But for right now, I wanted to talk about some of the different mission trips. You see, this church has been doing mission trips all over the place since 1999. Pineville, West Virginia, Bluefield, Gloucester, Erie, Friendly. We went to a campground. We went and did mission trips around the area. Here's some of the early ones. I personally love the one of Pastor Larry, what looks like falling asleep while standing up there with Pastor Joe. But the church has done all kinds of mission trips over the years. We've went to Caldwell, West Virginia. We went to Elizabeth, West Virginia. We had some sulfur water in one of those trips. We have the mission trips from 2013 where the youth went and did a Vacation Bible School down in Florida. Missions are huge. This church has been on mission all over the place. You got young Travis, Nick, and me up in the corner there. I think this one was from last year, Matt. Listen, this church is missions. We've been all over the place. And there's more to come. See, in 2018, we have two different mission trips that are on their way. We have the New York mission trip, which we're going to be doing in July. And then Cynthia and Amy are going to be going to Haiti to serve on a mission trip. Now, if you look on the left, the picture is of a sanctuary, an auditorium, I should say, that's being worked on. See, what you don't realize is they've been working on that auditorium for as long as we took, they started it when we started building this. They've been in that process for a long, long time. We're going to go help finish that building for them. At least that's the goal. Why do we do that? Because we love people. You don't give up a week of your life to go work with Matt for the fun of it. I love you. Listen, when you walk into the rooms of a bunch of smelly guys, you know where you're at. We are exhausted. We are worn out by the end of the days. But we do it because we love people. We love serving people. This Haiti mission trip is a process that Larry's been praying for many years. He's been praying that we can get involved with a foreign mission project. The Haiti mission trip, Cynthia and Amy are going on. They're doing it in part with Joe Buchanan's church. They're going to go learn how to do what they do down in Haiti. They've helped build a church, helped that church function, and they've run vacation Bible schools. They've built additional buildings. They've done all kinds of stuff. And what Cynthia and Amy are going to do over this summer is they're going to go learn how to do that so that we can do that further. Why? Because we love people. We want to have a love like Christ to serve God's people. Church, we have such a big God. Such a big God that this church has been able to serve 19 years of missions. Carol, does that feel kind of crazy saying 19 years of missions? It doesn't. But over the years, church, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love like Christ, to love His people. And it has all kinds of shapes and sizes. Vacation Bible School. We have roughly 120 kids every year coming into this building to hear the gospel message. We don't have to go anywhere. We can come to where we already come multiple times a week anyway. They're coming here to hear the gospel. Possibly also get squirted with water, but mostly to hear the gospel. Church, Vacation Bible School is exhausting. You know it. We've served it. We've all been there. But the love for children, the love for God's children, that's why we do it. Church, you want to know how big our God is? Our God is so big that He loves every single one of those little kids that come in this sanctuary during the week of Vacation Bible School. Do you? Church, we are called to love. And that love can look different depending on where your gifts might be. You might serve in different ways. Hey, listen, I am not talented by any means when it comes to anything construction. That's why Matt said that I wasn't allowed to help with the construction project this year and that I was going to help lead the VBS side of it, which is fine. Something about I'll hurt myself or power, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Listen, you may not be gifted in construction. You may not be gifted in teaching, but you can serve. You can love. You can pray for. Just because your talents may not line up, doesn't mean you can't be there. Doesn't mean you can't help. Vacation Bible School is like pulling teeth to get people to serve. Amen, Becky? Preschool department is like pulling teeth to get people to go back there sometimes. These are our kids, church. We're called to love. Faithfully following Christ is going to lead us to learn about Christ. It's going to lead us to love like Christ. God is so big. He's so powerful. He loved these little children. He loves the weak. He loves the sick. He loves those in need. He loves the people in Haiti. He loves the people of the world. Do you? Faithfully following Christ is going to lead us to learn about Him, to love like Him, and to live for Him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Paul says it best, to live as Christ and to die is truly gain. we know how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live not like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be different. We can see that in the passages that we've read today. We can see that there are going to be persecutions. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be difficult moments in life. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to lose family members. We're going to lose friends. Sometimes those closest to us are going to persecute us. Sometimes those closest to us just won't support us. But God is so big that He loves us no matter what. God is so big that He loves us no matter what our circumstances we're going through are. Don't ever let yourself get caught up in the "I'm not good enough." Because we never were. But He still loves us anyway. He loves us in spite of what we've done. That's how big our God is. So how do we live for Him? We go out and do it. We live for Christ in our everyday. It's how we act on the street. It's how we act on the road. It's how we treat others. Do you look just like everybody else? Do you sound just like everyone else? Or are you faithfully following Christ? They'll know we are Christians by our love. You can see it in your actions, in our life. Faithfully following Christ will lead us to learn about Him, to love like Him, to live for Him, and to have leisure in Christ. God is so big. He created the universe. He created the world. He created everything in creation. And on the seventh day, He rested. What makes you any better? Faithfully following Christ means it'll lead us to have leisure in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Do you take time to relax for the Lord? Let me be very honest. I go nonstop, what feels like 24/7. Matt, amen? It is exhausting sometimes. I know many of you work nonstop, it feels like. Or some of you work ridiculously early in the morning. More power to you. Anything before 7 o'clock is way too early. I wish I could sleep in later. Kids, though. Listen, we have to take time to relax. We have to take time to breathe. But we got to do it and glorify God. Because God is so big, and we serve this big, big God who loves us and cares for us and wants us to faithfully follow Him. And we can do that. When's the last time you took an afternoon and just spent time with a friend or a family member talking about what God's done in your life? When's the last time you took a Sunday afternoon and just spent time with the kids, chasing them around the house? Or if your kids don't like that anymore, maybe not chasing them around the house. Whatever works, right? When's the last time you just took a Sunday afternoon and took a nap? That sounds really good to me today. I don't know about you guys. I'm thinking nap kind of Sunday. Church, what I want to share with you today, what I want to lay before you today, is we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that is so powerful, so big, we can't comprehend it all. The song Indescribable is so perfect for this worship set, and I thank you, Mike, for putting that all together. Because we can't describe how great our God is, right? It's difficult to put into words how big, how powerful, how amazing our God is. But he's so powerful, he's so big, and he loves us so much that nothing can separate us from his love. Because of that, we need to faithfully follow him every day. We need to learn about him, we need to love like him, we need to live like him, and we need to spend leisure in him. These characteristics actually are setting us up for another thing in our short future here at Open Door. We're looking at trying to help revitalize our Sunday school programs. And these four characteristics are going to be embedded into the Sunday school programs. I didn't come up with these 4 points. I'm not that smart. But these 4 points, these four characteristics, are a demonstration of how big our God is and what we should do to follow him. How we should faithfully follow him. God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. Church, I want to pray for you this morning. Because what I want to close with today is a challenge. It's a challenge to faithfully follow Christ. It's a challenge to wake up to what our big God is doing for you. It's a challenge to see all that God has done and is going to do in the future. But the challenge is, what are you doing for God? So as the praise team comes forward, I'm going to ask you all, pray with me. God, you are so mighty, so powerful. We couldn't do what we do without you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we, as we gather, as we look towards you, that we can faithfully follow you. That we can see how big you are, God. That we can run to you. Lord, and that might look like different things to different people. Maybe we need to reevaluate where we stand with you. God, maybe we need to reevaluate where we serve for you. God, maybe we need to reevaluate whether we're members or whether we need baptism. But God, we know that you are a mighty God, that you are a big, big God. And we know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love you have for us. So God, as we close today, we pray that you can show us what you have for us, that you can lead us to where you've called us. And that we can accept your call. Lord, it's in your great name we pray. Amen.